Hello, and welcome to the Colorado Community Health Network Value-Based Care Podcast. This short podcast series is hosted by the Colorado Community Health Network, or CCHN. CCHN is the collective voice for Colorado's 20 community health centers, or CHCs, and the patients they serve. Colorado CHCs provide a healthcare home to more than 847,000 of their community members, one in seven people in Colorado, from 63 of the state's 64 counties. This is a three-part podcast series meant to provide short, digestible introductions on how work at Colorado CHCs is changing in response to new models of care and payment in Medicaid. Each episode can be accessed at any time through CCHN's website. This series is not a comprehensive guide of what it means to operate under a value-based care framework. Instead, it provides an introduction to the topic of value-based care and investigates how the workforce at community health centers will be impacted by this model. I'm Shannon Connell, and in this episode, we're going to be exploring more about the value-based care framework with those who know it best. In this episode, Kim Moyer, Health Center Data and Operations Manager at CCHN, spoke with Ben Schmedlach, Vice President of Information Systems at Clinica Family Health. Kim and Ben talked about the current and upcoming changes that health information technology staff will experience under value-based care.
My name is Ben Schmedlach at Clinica Family Health, and I am currently our Vice President of Information Systems, so I currently oversee our IT department, our EHR systems department, so that's our entire health record that is next gen, and our business intelligence department. I've been here for about 13 years now. I don't know that I necessarily sought out community healthcare, but once I arrived there, it was a very great working environment, and it felt good to be doing good work for people who, you know, required it. And I did appreciate the tenacity and the dedication of the people around me that they provided to their work. It made my work feel like it had more purpose.
Awesome. Thank you. So could you describe the typical work done by HIT staff at Clinica?
Yeah. So the typical work for our HIT staff, we do a lot of interfacing with our third party folks, whether it be folks from our RAES, CCHA or COA, some work with some community partners, whether it be the county or mental health partners or just other various activities. A lot of the work that we do is trying to acquire information and match information. So we do a lot of work with the IT department to set up FTP type processes, and then working internally with getting those FTP processes, tightly wound into our business intelligence processes to bring third-party information into various tables. We can make what we believe is a very rich reporting system a little bit more rich in the fact that we can have more complete information of what our full patient perspective and experience is. And we do sometimes even take some of this information and publish it in various like status indicators into the health record. So like specifically like attribution status and attribution type. That's something that we've recently implemented that we keep into the banner of each of our patients' health records. So our frontline staff are aware of who's attributed, what type of attribution they are. Yeah, those are some of the core things that our HIT staff currently work on.
So if you were talking to a new staff member or a peer from one of another community health center, how would you describe the value-based care and payment reform work that's currently being done by Clinica?
We're working hard to make a big master plan, something that's been talked about for a long, long time. And I think we've been waiting to realize how we can actually pivot an entire care team to work a little differently. We're postured to be successful in this is for a long time we've focused, I'll say exclusively on quality and outcomes, and knowing that as we've been able to do that, we've identified different levers within care teams to really make those dreams of high quality outcomes a reality. You know, a great unknown with all this work is like how we can like further our electronic engagement with patients. I think as we have a little bit more time and space that an APM would allow, that we can really lean into different electronic offerings, and not just to make them technically sound internally and like good technical workflows internally to work, but to get some patient input on it and some patient input as far as like, does this work for you? Is this something that you would adopt? Because as much work as we've done internally to date for various offerings like that, it seems like that is a very critical kind of missing piece as to like where we can be highly, you know, even more highly successful, certainly in an APM.
Great. So as Clinica has engaged in payment reform activities, have there been new staff roles or duties identified specifically for the HIT department? And if so, what's changed? What are these roles? Are you using existing staff or did you have to hire new staff?
Specific to APM, we have not had to hire new staff, but I will recognize that we've have some unique talents within our existing BI and EHR systems departments that I think have made some of these things a little easier for us to adopt. Had we not had a couple specific skill sets, I don't want to say that we couldn't have done it without hiring new, but it just would have been a little bit more difficult. So to the core of the question, no, we have not had to hire any new unique staff specific to HIT activities.
And do you have any thoughts on how payment reform work and value-based care might impact clinic staff in general?
I think the notion is that it should allow some time and some space for us to do more intentional, thoughtful work. And not like max pack visits. You know, on the heels of what was a max pack last 14 months, it'll be interesting to see how care teams lean and kind of land into those spaces. I know that we've already kind of opened up some additional time that we would not probably have done historically to make sure we're making more thoughtful, intentional approaches to our care and to each one of our provider panels. It will be good, but it's hard to say until that dream kind of becomes a reality, like how we'll actually respond to it. Because I think we've had some hypotheses as to how we're going to create care teams and what all these people will do. But I also have realized in the last, specifically the 14 months, you can plan something and then you can find out quickly how it's actually going to behave. And I'm not sure how, you know, this, it's impossible for it to be as disruptive as a global pandemic, obviously. But it will be a little bit disruptive. So I think there's going to be some give and take, but I think overall it's going to be timely, pleasant change for our staff, especially considering big picture, like the overall morale, I think, of those who work in healthcare these days.
So thinking about the work in the future, sort of like you were talking about, do you think there's any skills or roles that you all might need to bring in to the HIT department to continue the work?
There's been a lot of stuff that we've done, I mean, not necessarily specific to APM, but certainly complementary to APM, where EHRs support their core functions, but those core functions don't always blend exactly within the full care model. So we will likely be adding to our EHR systems team a person that's going to be kind of an applications developer, like a full node stack developer. That allows us to be more flexible in how we program within our next gen API and other APIs. And I think that, you know, that's something that we've had a skill set to do to date, but the plan on creating redundancy, which indicates that the long-term plan of that program is going to be here to stay at Clinica. It's going to be a part of a department. I think that has a tremendous opportunity because with all the various things that, you know, IT, EHR folks and BI folks do. Those are primarily care team facing, and opening up those other things to having patient facing electronic solutions is a real opportunity, but it certainly does require to hire a little bit. I think that's it'll be unique in the sense that I think this is a highly competitive tech market and it's been difficult internally to recruit in healthcare, but that is certainly a role that we intend on bringing in-house in the coming months.
As you reflect on the work that you've already done, what are some HIT-related capabilities, equipment, software, or staff knowledge that you would maybe recommend that other health centers prioritize as they're starting these sort of payment reform efforts?
We've offered some electronic screenings that we developed internally for patients to complete. We identify internally who's eligible for these screenings, and it's easily facilitated by one who checks in these patients. But the completion process from a patient's perspective is very simple. It's very straightforward, and every step of it writes directly to our chart and alerts various members of the care team along the way. That skill set is a unique one that we have, but that's something that I think as people look at vendors and decide what it is they think they want and they need, ensuring that integration actually happens, because it was one thing that we've done in the last year that I think we'll continue to lean in, and we're going to expand it to different screenings beyond a PHQ2, PHQ9. That is like a true office efficiency. And something that I see value, you know, for the patient is it's cool. Like it's, you know, going to a community health center and completing stuff like that in that modality Seems like a really cool, cutting-edge way to do a screening and also a very private way to do screenings. That's certainly one thing, but other like hardwares and softwares. I think another software offering that I would recommend is there's a service that's facilitated through Twilio called Quick Connect, where I don't know that all health centers have a problem with a central communication center to take all their phone calls. Ours has been struggling a bit in the past year. But what it offers is that if I reach out to you, Kim, then I'm a nurse on the care team, and I can't get a hold of you, I can subsequently send a text to you where it provides you what appears to be a phone number to call back, and it'll call back exactly to the spot that I want it to call, that I want you to be called back to. So you skip an entire potential call center process. You go right to the person or the care team that you need to go to. That is something that I think is a very wise approach. I think it's a very patient-centered approach. I think on the patient-facing part of it, there is still like the overhanging like patient's adoption rate of like, what is this and why are we doing it this way? Just kind of realizing that I think our patients, and perhaps like with other CHCs, a very common, comfortable way to interact with us is number one, primarily face-to-face in person, secondarily on the phone when they're initiating the contact. So that's a piece of it. But Quick Connect, I think, is a fantastic offering that is very patient-centered, especially if they utilize it and they're able to quickly connect back to that exact care team member who is just in their chart or trying to deliver a specific message.
Great. And I just have one more question. So what are some of the outcomes that you hope to see for Clinica staff and patients through payment reform?
I think patient and staff satisfaction are two core ones that are very, very important that we hope to realize some improvement there. As far as clinical measures, time and space and various other ways, you know, modalities of engaging in care will kind of inform that. I guess knowing that, like, if you focus on what can you do electronically, I think we went through the various care gaps that we could cover in a virtual setting, and it makes up about 65-70% of what we can do. So it should open that up, but it'll be interesting just in, you know, the past several months going to all virtual and then in-person care. And again, realizing that, you know, for a lot of our patients and our care teams, the preferred method of care is in-person face-to-face experience. So I'm not sure. I would definitely stick with the patient and staff satisfaction. But as far as like, you know, core clinical measures, I'm not sure where we see like the potential large levers for improvement, but certainly the opportunity to iterate on our care model a little bit does feel good to have, you know, a little bit of time and space to be more thoughtful about that, especially as dust settles from the last 14, 15 months.
Thank you all for listening, and thank you to our speaker for sharing. Don't forget to listen to all the CCHN Value-Based Care podcast episodes. Take a moment to check out further resources on this topic found on CCHN website, and leave us a review by filling out the evaluation form on this series in our email communications. Questions about this podcast can be sent to Shannon Connell at sconnell@cchn.org. Have a great day, and thank you for your time.